And the whole point of this sermon series is how God, in his power, delivers this nation called Israel from the bondage of slavery, gives them freedom. And they had the freedom to worship anybody, anything, any idols. And yet God said, I set you free so that you can freely worship me. And that has been our sermon series these last few weeks. And we're looking at the second half of Exodus. And we're at the point in Exodus where God begins to instruct them. This is how you're going to worship me. He begins to give them instructions on how to build the ark of the covenant, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, the bronze bolt, all these things, right? And he's teaching them every single day. You do it this way. You build it this way. You worship me this way because I set you free so that you can worship me. And more specifically, and you know, Pastor Gaylord preached on this last week, we looked at Exodus 28, and actually these next two chapters, 28 and 29, are about the raising up and the consecration of the priests. And it's very detailed. It's very specific. There are only certain people that are called to be priests. And they had to make these garments so that the priests could wear them. But the whole point of Exodus 28 and Exodus 29, and we should not forget about it as well, is that God is giving these details to remind his people, this is how much I care about you. This is how much I desire you to be in my presence. And I am inviting you. I am inviting you to be a part of what I am doing. I am inviting you to be a part of who I am. You may not have known me when you were in slavery in Egypt, but you saw what I did for you. Now this is what you are called to do. So in your Bibles, open to Exodus 29. And we're actually going to look at the last part of that chapter first. Inasmuch as, again, this is all about the priests and the garment they are called to wear, and the consecration and ordination of the priests, God reminds them at the end of Exodus 29 why all of this should mean the world to the Israelites, and why all of this should mean the world to us today. So in Exodus 29, I'm just going to read the last part of the chapter, starting in verse 38. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: two lambs a year, old day by day regularly. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And with the first lamb, a tenth seah of fine flour mingled with a fourth of a hin of beaten oil, and a fourth of a hin of wine for a drink offering. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer with it a grain offering and its drink offering, as in the morning, for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. Now pay close attention here. Where I will meet with you to speak to you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve as my priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. See, the first thing I want to highlight this morning is this. God invites us into his presence. Like I said, you can read these two chapters, 28 and 29, and you can get into the nitty-gritty details of the consecration of the priests. But then God ends it by saying, don't forget why we are doing this in the first place. Don't forget why it's important to know that you have priests, that they're going to be ordained, that they're going to be consecrated. It's because I desire to be with you. And God speaks to Moses at this time, and he says, every time you are outside the tent of meeting, that's where I am. every time you are out at the tent of meeting, I am speaking to you. I am instructing you. I am encouraging you. I am convicting you. Because I want the people of Israel to know that I am their God and they are my people. That's an invitation. That's a powerful invitation by the Lord of Lords to say, I want to be your God. I want to be in your life. I want to be involved in your life. I don't care if you are living a life that's full of joy and happiness. I don't care if you're living a life of brokenness and hopelessness, whether in the highlands or in the heartaches. God says, I want to be involved in your life. So I'm inviting you in. I am inviting you in. Israelites, I am inviting you in. I am going to teach you what it means to live in freedom so that you can freely worship me. The church today, I am constantly inviting you to be in my presence. To know that when we are together, this is holy land. This is consecrated. This is ordained. This is my righteousness here. Take it seriously. You see, we are not called to be in a relationship with God just so that we are entertained. Let me say that again. We are not called to be in a relationship with God just so that we are entertained. If you came in here this morning thinking that, boy, God better entertain me, God better make me feel good, God better make me jump up and down for joy, then we have the wrong heart and the wrong attitude, because that is not God's mission when he invites us into his presence. He invites us into his presence so that we get to know him. This is holy ground. This is not a sports center. This is not a concert. This is not you saying, wow, man, that message is pretty boring today. Look, I've said this before. I grew up charismatic. Okay? For those of you who might have had exposure to the Pentecostal or charismatic tradition, I grew up there. That's me. Okay? I'm the one who's jumping up and down. I'm the one that's raising my hand. I raised my hand before raising your hands was popular. Right? I was involved in those ministries that played guitar before guitar was normal. And I still remember when I went to this one church to visit, and there was only one person sitting up here playing the music, and I'm not a music person, but he was off tune, and his music sheets were dropping to the ground, and he had to always kind of pick it up, and it seemed like he was losing his place when he was playing. And then when the pastor came up and he preached, I was sitting there and saying, my gosh, this is boring. And being a charismatic person, the Holy Spirit just, boom, went upon me and convicted me. And he's saying, you're here to be entertained? When someone just led you in songs into my presence, when this pastor is up here preaching my word and you're sitting there saying this is boring? You see, when God calls us into his presence, he's calling us to worship him. He is not calling you to be entertained. He is not calling me to be entertained. He is calling us to worship him. And that is why God reminds them again at the end of this chapter, I am your God. I am your God. And you are my people. And you have seen over and over again what I have done for you and what I could do for you. Come into my presence. Worship me. Adore me. Do all you can. Do all you can to praise me. Now, there are a number of components in this chapter when it comes to being invited into his presence, being invited into God's presence to worship him. And we're not going to have time this morning to look at it. So you go ahead and read this chapter again. I will say this. If you are a very visual person, go ahead and be visual, because it's a pretty gross kind of description. Exodus 29. There's a lot of blood. If you like blood, it's kind of cool. But imagine it. Okay, you go back home and you read, and just imagine in your head to the best of your ability, because we don't live in that time anymore. Just imagine as best as you can when things are being slaughtered, when things are being sacrificed, when blood should be put here or put there. But a couple of the components I want to just highlight to close this morning's message. And two of the components are these. Inasmuch as God, now think about this, inasmuch as God is holy and God is righteous and he's inviting us into his presence. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that, how is that possible? Here is this God who is righteous and holy, no sin, never, he was never selfish, he was never like did anything just for his pleasure, like do anything against someone just for his pleasure. He loved us. And here we are, we're broken people, we're sinful people, we want to do things our own way, we're selfish, we want to hurt, we want to harm. How in the world can we get into his presence? How in the world is that possible? And at that time, God sets this thing called the priesthood. And he says, it's going to be through the priest that you're going to experience me. It's going to be through the priest that you're going to be invited into my presence. Let's go back to the beginning of chapter 29. Now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them. How to consecrate and ordain the priests. That they may serve me as priests. You take one bull of the herd and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, with unleavened wafers smeared with oil. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket, and bring the bull and the two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put coats on them. And you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them. And the priesthood shall be theirs by a statute forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Basically, what God is saying is, everything that I told you how to make the priest's garment in Exodus 28, Aaron and his sons are going to wear them. And when they wear them, that is a signal to you, Israel, that they are called to lead you into my presence. But here's what I love about this process the most. You see, God actually chose broken people to lead broken people into his presence. Think about that. Aaron and his sons were not perfect. How in the world is that possible? Don't you think you would need perfect, sinless people to lead broken, sinful people into God's presence? And yet God chooses broken people like Aaron and his two sons. A few chapters from now, you're going to see what Aaron's going to do. He's not perfect. In Leviticus, you're going to find out what happened to Aaron's two oldest sons. They actually died. For some reason, God still wanted to consecrate and ordain broken people, such as Aaron and his sons, to lead us into God's presence. And I really believe the point here is this. I think many of us think that God is so perfect and God is so holy and God is so righteous that somehow me and my brokenness and me and my sinfulness cannot even be in that presence, that we cannot even enjoy God's presence. And I want to say to you right now, that is a lie from Satan. That is a lie that you cannot believe. Because God does desire you in all of your brokenness to be in his presence so that he can heal you, so that he can change you, so that he can transform you. And I know too often, and I believed it at one point in my life, that I thought that how in the world could I even be in God's presence? I keep sinning. I keep going against him. I can't seem to obey him. I will obey him for a few days, and all of a sudden, I'm back to what I'm doing. And yet, the fact that God chose broken people to draw broken people into his presence is to encourage us. God wants you despite your brokenness. God wants you despite how you perceive yourself to be. Isn't that why he sent his son Jesus to come to this earth? Jesus did not come for perfect people. He did not come for those who are healed. He came for those who are sick. And that's the thing. All of us are sick. All of us are sick. And yet God sent his son Jesus to come for us. God sent his son Jesus to come for you. No matter where you might have been in your life, no matter what you have done, you might think it's the worst of the worst. And God still sees you and says, I want to have a relationship with you. Give me a chance to do so. And the consecration of the priest reminds us of that. That in a tangible way, God is telling the Israelites, look at these priests. They look different from you because they're wearing very unique clothing. And they're drawing you in. They're offering sacrifices on your behalf so that you can be made well in front of God. And church today, same thing is true. That God sent his son Jesus. Here's the best thing. He's not even broken. He's not even sinful. He's perfect. And God sent Jesus to come to this earth to die for us, give us new life in him, so that we can be drawn into God's presence. God invites us into his presence. He shows in Exodus 29 how he desires to draw us into his presence. In Exodus 29, he uses broken people like priests, but now we have the great high priest who has saved us, who has given us new life. And then let me close with this last point. And if I can ask the music team, if you can make your way up here. If you look at the rest of Exodus 29, it's all about the priests making offerings, okay? Again, we don't have time to look at it this morning, but there are a number of offerings that they are called to make. Food offerings, burnt offerings, wave offerings, peace offerings. Okay, there are many things that the priests are called to offer to the Lord because it's a reminder for us that we are called to worship him. We are called to offer all of our lives to him. But there is one particular offering that I want to mention this morning, and it's the sin offering. Look at verses 10 to 14. Then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and shall take part of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. And the rest of the blood you shall pour out at the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull and its skin and its dung you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. I know you might be grossed out this moment. But here's the point. There is this offering called a sin offering because God knows that his people are still sinful people. He knows that, right? And that's why he created this office called a priest. Because there is no way the nation of Israel on their own could approach God with their sinfulness. So he creates this position called a priest. And the priests are going to be, in some ways, right, the intermediary. They are the ones who are supposed to live holy lives. They are supposed to make offerings for the people to God. And they make a particular offering here called a sin offering. Because God knows that we are sinful people. And there is no way we, on our own, by our own strength, by our own wisdom, by our own knowledge, can approach God and have a relationship with God all by ourselves. He particularly tells the priest, you make the sin offering. And in fact, you read the rest of the Old Testament, there are sin offerings continuously as the people of God continue to fail, continue to disobey. God says, I desire a sin offering to make things new. And for us, that sin offering is Jesus. Time and time again, we have failed. Time and time again, we have chosen not to be in God's presence. We have chosen to be in our own presence. We have chosen to be in the world's presence. We have chosen things that's outside of what God desires from us. So he sends Jesus to be the offering to take our place. So it's amazing that many, many, many years ago, even before Jesus was born, God was already showing us, almost like a reflection, a foreshadowing of, this is who my son is going to be. He will be offered for you. He will be offered for you. And I don't know if there's any one of us here this morning who's in that place where we don't have a relationship with God. And this message is for you. God wants you to be in his presence. And he's offering you a way. It's through his son Jesus. That if you surrender your life to Jesus, and that you believe that he is your Savior in faith, and faith alone, you will be saved. I want to invite you to accept that invitation. And to say to Jesus, to say to God, I am your son and daughter. Please forgive me for my sin against you. I believe in faith that Jesus is my Savior. Receive me as your son and daughter. And for the rest of us who are followers of Christ, God continually invites you into his presence. Whether it's through the highlands, when things are going well, you know what that is, right? After a retreat, you're up there. To the below, the heartaches, when no one can even deliver you. And you're crying your heart out. And God says, I see you. Come into my presence. Come as you are, because I want to change you. I want to transform you. Come into my presence. Let's pray. In a moment, we're going to respond to God in song, but now as the music team kind of just plays some background music, I just want us to just spend this next few moments just praying to the Lord. First, again, if there's any one of you here, you do not have a relationship with Jesus yet, and this message is convicting you, and you know it. You know that the Holy Spirit is just speaking to you right now and saying, you need to change your life. You need to surrender your life. This is your moment. This is your invitation to be in God's family, to be with God, to be in God's presence. This is your invitation. And all you need to do is cry out to God right now and say to him again, God, I am a sinner, not worthy of your love, but you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. And he resurrected on the third day, victorious over sin and death, so that I will have new life in you this morning forevermore. I want to invite you at this very moment to pray and receive Jesus into your life this day. You surrender all for him. For the second group, for many of us who are believers in Christ, but we may have not taken our walks with God seriously. Maybe we wanted him to entertain us. Maybe we wanted him to pull all the right strings so that we can have an easy and safe and secure life, but that is not God's invitation into his presence. His invitation into his presence is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that is your mission and calling. And to be invited into his presence is to live in that way. So what will you do? You lift these things up in prayer. You ask for forgiveness. You say to God, God, I'm sorry for just living my life my own way. I know you. I've received you. I've surrendered my life to you, and yet I'm not really following you and trusting in you. Help me to trust in you. Help me to obey you and do all that you have called me to do. So in the next minute or so, just pray to the Lord. Seek him out. And then in a moment, we will respond as a body of believers with a song. God, may you be glorified.